Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable Podcast with Jessica Trotter, Mari Garza, and Cheryl Lindemann.
Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'd like to start us off today by reminding everyone that beginning Monday, June 22nd, members will be able to reserve items by placing a hold or calling their branch, and then schedule a time for curbside or door pickup. For more information, you can go out to our website at cadl.org. Also, just so you know, if you're on Facebook, our executive director, Scott Dimstra, did a Facebook Live recently that's going to be up there where he kind of walks through the process of what CADL's going to be doing. But for the pod, we have a pair of fun discussions today. To start, Mari Garza will be joined by CADL Holt Delhi librarian Robert Chartrand to talk children's and teen titles and the Summer Reading Challenge. And then after that, Cheryl and I are going to talk about where we are with our new normal and offer our own recommendations. So take it away, Robert and Mari.
Okay. Hey, everyone. Welcome. This is Mari Garza, Youth Services Specialist with CADL, and Robert from the Holt Branch, Youth Services Librarian. How's it going, Robert?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on.
You are welcome. Yeah. I'm very glad to have you on. What have you been up to this week?
You know, we are just kind of staying inside a lot.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, well, with the weather out, we do take a lot of walks. It's been gorgeous outside. And so it's been kind of nice to, you know, take our daughter out around the block and just kind of get some fresh air. And she actually just turned 20 months today. So we've been very busy with a toddler who is showing a lot of independence.
Very good for her. All right.
Yes. It is very good and exhausting all at the same time.
Yeah. Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm enjoying gardening and trying to keep my flowers alive this week. It was a little hotter than I was expecting, but otherwise doing pretty well. So, a quiet little thing happened on May 19th. Suzanne Collins released what is kind of being considered like the prequel to The Hunger Games, if anyone knows that blockbuster series. The title of the prequel is The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And I do want to mention it is available in ebook format through Overdrive and e-audio through Overdrive and Hoopla. And we will have it in print very soon after we reopen. And man, what a hefty book.
Yeah,
it was really I was not large. Expecting it to be so long. In fact, I still have about 200 pages left to go.
Okay.
But I had forgotten like just how brutal some of the storyline is. I don't usually read dystopian, you know, like everybody is cruel to each other type book. Sure. How about you? Did you read it? What did you think?
Yeah, I finished it earlier in the week. And yeah, when I got it, I was shocked at how large it was. I think, you know, going in, I wasn't sure if this was going to be a standalone or like the first of sort of a prequel series or anything. But yeah, it is a very large book and it was really, really good.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it gets so hard to talk about books without spoiling them.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try my best, but no, everything kind of gets wrapped up well. So I really think it's a standalone, and I chose not to reread the original Hunger Games trilogy before this. And you know, I didn't think anything was confusing or lost. You know, I think kind of throughout they do give a little like nods to characters. I think some names are mentioned that appear later on.
Okay.
But I don't think it's necessary. And I think people, I would encourage people to read the Hunger Games if you haven't yet. But if it's been a few years, because it's been a while since Catching Fire came out.
Right.
And then this one. But I don't think it's necessary to reread it. And the author just does a great job at having President Snow as the main character. You know, this is 18-year-old Snow, and we're kind of seeing his rise, but not even his rise, but kind of seeing what it was like for him when he was that age.
Right.
And the Hunger Games are way different when this book takes place, and you kind of can see bits and pieces.
Yeah, I've been trying to like compare, I guess, to what I remember. I actually did read the three books like two or three times, but not just before I picked this up. So I had to, like, for example, look up Coriolanus Snow. I'm like, I think he was the prisoner, right? I was just like at the beginning of the book.
Right.
I was thinking, all right. But yeah, I just found it to be very dark as far as like how the tributes are treated. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as it seemed that way in the other books, but somehow it just has really stood out to me. I mean, there's this section in the book that they ask you about, you know, they're trying to interview the tributes. And at one point, Snow, Coriolanus Snow is kind of like, you know, maybe instead of the question about asking people about their family and what, you know, what home is like, they should just ask them outright. So who cares about you?
Right. Yeah.
You know, who can you count on? You know, it was just very mean. But anyway, So we have our summer reading challenge going on, everyone. Yay. We have over 2,000 Kettle members signed up. I do want to mention that kids can log their reading time to qualify for prizes and learn about fun activities. You can learn more at kettle.org/summer. And something we're doing this year is that we are inviting our kids and teens to submit works of poetry and or art if they wish to. I know, you know, our branches are not exactly open right now, but once we get rolling, you'll be able to submit those, and we'll have them on display so you can take a look at them. Our theme this year is Imagine Your Story, and that would be like any story, folk tales, fantasy, you know, realistic stories, whatever. Robert, do you have any books to recommend?
I do. Yeah. I did want to talk about a few middle grade books. And if you're not familiar with like the middle grade concept, it's kind of like geared towards ages 9-ish to 12-ish, sort of middle school kind of age. But two I didn't want to mention right now is The Mighty Heart of Sunny St. James by Ashley Herring Blake. And this is a title that we have in print, but I think soon in Overdrive, we should be expecting an ebook version relatively soon. And I absolutely loved this title. It is realistic, kind of realistic fiction, and it follows the character of Sunny St. James. And she kind of had a pretty rough childhood. I think when the book starts, she's about 12, I think, but she was abandoned by her mom. So she is being raised by her mom's best friend. And Sunny also has a very serious heart condition. And so a lot of her childhood has kind of been sick dealing with that. And the book starts off with Sunny recovering from a heart, I think it's a heart transplant or some serious heart surgery. And when she wakes up, she kind of has this new lease on life. You know, she kind of remembers everything she missed out on. So she sets these goals for herself that this summer she's going to accomplish these things and kind of really be a new person. And one of the things on her list is to kiss a boy. She hasn't done that. And so that's a goal of hers. But it kind of gets complicated when a new girl shows up into town for the summer. And they kind of become friends and maybe even a little more than that. And so Sunny kind of starts questioning everything what she thought she knew about herself.
Okay.
And kind of really relooking at how she feels. And on top of that, her mom shows back up and tries to kind of get back in the picture. Huh. So Sunny is both dealing with the reintroduction of her mom and kind of what that means, as also well what it means, you know, of all the different things she's feeling. And the author, I think, to me, does a fantastic job showcasing or kind of expressing a girl of that age dealing with all these things. It seems very realistic and believable.
Okay.
You can kind of totally imagine that, yeah, a 12-year-old would be acting and reacting the way that Sunny is. So again, that's The Mighty Heart of Sunny St. James by Ashley Herring Blake. And another one I did want to talk about is kind of a newer one that just came out a couple months ago. It's called Stand Up, Yumi Chung by Jessica Kim. And this one is available on print. Our copy has not come in yet, but we do have it available for people to put a hold on. And it's also currently available on Overdrive on the app Libby as both an ebook and an audiobook. And Stand Up Yumi Chung is about Yumi Chung, who is a very shy, Korean girl who has this goal of becoming a stand-up comedian, and which goes completely against the goals that her parents have for her of becoming like a doctor or a lawyer, or the current goals of acing her exams to get into this really awesome school. And so it's kind of all about her trying to overcome her own insecurities to be a stand-up comedian and sort of going against her, you know, Korean parents' wishes and desires for her. And it's all about, you know, fighting for your own dreams when they go against your parents' dreams. And in the book, Yumi stumbles across a comedy camp that's hosted by her all-time favorite YouTube star. And they think she's somebody else, so she joins the camp.
Okay.
And it's her kind of now having to deal with this quote-unquote stolen identity. And as one would expect, everything kind of unravels as the story goes on when she's trying to pretend to be this person who she's not, and sort of both the worlds, and it's her kind of dealing with that. But it was really kind of funny and enjoyable to see Yumi overcome these different obstacles and start to kind of believe in herself more. And it's a great story for people who kind of, you know, have these dreams that seem to sort of go against the personality they have and kind of rising to the occasion. And again, that's called Stand Up Yumi Chung by Jessica Kim. What about you, Mari? Do you have any good books that you've read recently?
Yeah, I have a couple of picture books I want to talk about, as well as one nonfiction. The first one is The Contest Between the Sun and the Wind, an Aesop's Fable, and it's retold by Heather Forrest. And this is a title that is available in print at Cattle as well as in Hoopla as an ebook. And I just really love the illustrations that are depict kind of the sun and the wind battling it out just to try to, you know, answer this question that I feel like, you know, we seem to ask ourselves in humanity quite often, is can gentleness as opposed to force be the better way to achieve a goal? So it's a beautifully written, beautifully illustrated book. And I really just like the way it was retold. Mm-hmm. I believe in Hoopla, there's also an audio function, so you can listen to it as you're going through it. So that's one. I have been looking at a lot of, I guess you could call them fairy tales or fables, that kind of go with our theme a little bit. And I'm not usually one who rereads those a lot, but that was one I chose to look for and take a look at.
Yeah.
The other one that I'm so excited about is Outside In by Deborah Hopkinson. This will be available in print at Cattle. And it's also available right now through Overdrive. And this is a picture book that kind of looks at the outside world compared to what we're experiencing inside in our house, and how the two kind of intersect. And I think there's a line at the beginning, something along the lines of once we were part of outside and outside was part of us. And it's just that whole, like, looking at nature and how we commune with it in some ways, maybe. Okay. It's just beautiful, beautiful. And the illustrator is actually, I think, Cindy Derby. And it's just a really nice, nice spread. That's one I've been rereading a lot lately. The other book is a nonfiction book, which I had to wait for, but I had been hearing about this for a while. It's called On the Horizon by Lois Lowry. Mm-hmm. And this is a nonfiction book of poetry that, you know, Lois Lowry, award-winning author, she happened to find a home movie of herself when she was like 4 years old or something that her father had taken when she was playing on Waikiki Beach. And would you believe it? She found the USS Arizona battleship out on the horizon or in the sea.
Oh, you're kidding.
Before Pearl Harbor, the bombing happened. And so she kind of investigates, first of all, just the 1,000, like 170 something people died in that event. Mm-hmm. And she goes through, so it's a nonfiction book that is, that could be considered a little bit like biography, because it is kind of looking into the lives of these mostly men who died, and just the fact that there were like 37 pairs of brothers on that ship that died. 37 pairs of brothers, just the number of families that were affected. So it's not just about Pearl Harbor. It's really about, you know, the process that what happened afterwards in Japan, and just a really beautiful work of poetry that is kind of honoring the memory of those persons and helping us to know our history. So yeah, I think I said, yeah, that one is available in Overdrive, and it's also on order, so you should see it in print soon.
Sounds really good.
What else have you been reading?
Well, yeah, one more I did want to mention. It's called Race to the Sun by Rebecca Roanhorse.
I read that last month. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it is available in print, you know, like you probably mentioned, and through Overdrive and Hoopla. And the main character's name is Najoni, and she is Navajo. And so the entire book is kind of a modernization of the Navajo heroes and monsters and characters from their culture and stories, very akin to like the Percy Jackson series.
Right.
And it's kind of follows her coming, realizing the hero that she truly is, and trying to save her family. And so kind of her brother and friend go off on this adventure and meeting all these different characters and deities from Navajo stories. And I really wanted to bring it up because I think it fits in wonderfully with our Imagine Your Story summer theme, because it is part of the Rick Riordan Presents collection.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are probably at this point familiar with Rick Riordan and his various mythology series. But I don't know if as many are familiar with his Presents collection. And so what the Rick Riordan Presents books are is that they're various stories written by own voice authors representing a variety of cultures. So there's Hindu, Korean, African, and African-American, Cuban, Mayan, and even more scheduled to be released. And much like he took his Norse, Egyptian, and Greek mythology stories and modernized it, all these authors are taking their own cultures, myths and stories and folk tales, and modernizing it. So it's really, really cool to kind of see these stories brought to life by the authors that, you know, are their own culture.
Yes.
And even more awesome is that they're all on Hoopla, so everybody has access to them, as well as, you know, print and a bunch of them are through Overdrive as ebook and audiobook. And again, that's the Rick Riordan Presents collection. And I think every single book can be found through Hoopla.
Great. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. I do have just a couple of teen books I want to recommend. I'm a big contemporary teen reader. I like realistic stories. And the first one I have is The Life and Medieval Times of Kit Sweetly by Jamie Pacton. This is available in Hoopla, Overdrive, and there will be a print version of that soon, a print record. Wow, what a fun story. It's kind of it's about a teen, senior year. She actually works at a medieval reenactment castle type thing in the Chicago area. And she's basically like just mad that she can't be a knight because the company that she works for has a rule about girls not being able to be knights. So she kind of takes it upon herself to like change that and say, hey, there's something wrong with this. Men and women should be able to participate in all types of jobs. So it's a really fun story, adventure story with lots of different characters. Her friends all help her on this quest so that she is not stuck being a waitress or a wench, as she says her character is called, serving people. But it also explores a lot of issues of poverty, when families are broken up, her father is not in the picture, and just a lot of hard things, you know, for kids who don't have a ton of money in the bank ready to send them off to college. He's a very gifted student. So anyway, I highly recommend that one. And then the other one is a little bit more serious, is Breath Like Water by Anna Jarzab. That's available in Hoopla, Overdrive, and RB Digital. And this is about a swimmer. She's a very serious swimmer. And this really appealed to me because my nephew was a swimmer in high school in Dearborn. And I remember going to his meets, and this was a very serious sport, like getting up super early. And you see all that in this story, but she is a young woman who has been a world champion at one time. And she was a champion when she was, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13. So she hadn't hit puberty yet. Mm-hmm. And what happens is her body starts to change, and she starts to see a lot of physical challenges with keeping up her speed. There's definitely a theme of like how harsh coaches can be sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And also, I mean, there's a little bit of just, I won't give too much away, but mental illness that goes on with some of the kids that are on her swimming team. I really loved this book. And highly recommend it. And one of the other things I really want to mention is that it really appealed to me because the woman or the girl who's in the story is a Latina. And I really enjoyed hearing what a perspective would be like from her family, her parents. They're not from Mexico. I think they're like second or third generation, but it's just really, really neat. So that's all I have. I want to thank you, Robert, very much for joining me today. Happy Summer Reading Challenge, everyone. Yes. Next up, we've got Jessica Trotter and Cheryl Lindemann, these adult selection specialists who are just awesome. I will say goodbye. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Imagine your story with Capital Area District Library's free online reading challenge. Kids, teens, and adults can earn prizes by reading and doing fun activities at home, like Shapes Tell the Story and Scavenger Hunts. There's also fun virtual events like Cattle Tales Live and Supermarket Science. For more details on Cattle's online reading challenge and virtual programming, check out their website today, then enjoy all the fun.
Welcome back for the segment of Readers Roundtable. I am Jessica Trotter, and I am joined, of course, by Cheryl Lindemann. Hey, Cheryl.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How's life treating you?
Yeah, it really has its ups and downs, depending on the day and what's going on. Some definite pluses of walking outside a lot, like Madi mentioned earlier, being able to sort of see the season unroll a bit more slowly because of more regular walks. That's been a real nice thing.
Yeah, I can see that. And
And then I really found my reading groove. Might have been a little sticky at first, but I feel like... Dear, you feeling the reading groove really?
It's better.
It's better?
I still am in and out, and I got to find the right book. But once I'm in, I'm well in.
Oh, good. Yeah. And you can concentrate and really and really dig in. Yeah, I'm feeling that way too. And I always find, I don't know about you, but even though I'm, you know, not a child at all, I find the summer reading program kind of a nice extra motivator.
Yes,
because
I agree.
Isn't that kind of fun? It's like even tracking 10 minutes. I'll put the timer on my phone. I'll be like, okay, I have 10 minutes. Instead of doing something like scrolling on a phone, I'm going to read for 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, it's a nice focuser. So for any of our listeners who think the summer reading program still might be just for kids, I do recommend to check it out and see how it might even refocus your own reading this summer. I know that it's done that for me every year I've done it, and I'm a heavy reader. So
it's
kind of cool just to see how, you know, it's not the prizes. It's just that in being intentional about reading has been kind of cool. So I got a Book Riot newsletter in my many a day.
Many.
And one of them, Jess was the writer on this one, mentioned that they had just really enjoyed either really deep dive, more challenging books at this time that are maybe social justice oriented or just totally pure fantasy. And that was their escape. You know, those two kind of extremes, and it made me think of, you know, like our readers, you know, ourselves and everybody, their escape is something different, right? It's like, mm-hmm. is it fantasy? Is it mystery? Is it cozies? Is it really intense, intense nonfiction or even gritty, you know, books? Everybody's just so different. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to, you know, I know I have some sense of what yours are, Jessica, but right now, what are you finding that you're drawn to?
Well, and that sort of goes back to me kind of getting settled back into reading. I needed to go the route of the escape books first. So mm-hmm. I read a lot more romance than I'd been reading. Knowing full well that there was going to be a happy ending, because it's so weird outside right now that yeah. that made a difference to me.
Yeah.
And I read fantasy that way too. I read it because I enjoy it, but I also read it. It becomes an escape as well.
I find that I'm drawn to animals and plants as an escape. So the world of humans mm-hmm. Is very fraught and complicated yes. as understatement, right?
Yes.
And to look at books that deal with biodiversity or ecosystems and seeing this web of life that isn't entirely peaceful, but has its own rhythms and its own purpose, I don't know, it really kind of lifts me out of where I am mentally and brings me back into some sort of web that doesn't have humans at its center. I don't know if
right.
that makes that sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It totally does.
So at this time, I'm drawn to that. And I bounce between that and memoir. You probably mm-hmm. hear that through the podcast. I read a lot yep. of memoir. Just having people tell their story has always been one of my favorite things, just to read somebody's story. You know, to read, even if it's a difficult story, there's so much that, you know, I think readers of memoir get from that and putting themselves in other people's shoes and that sort of thing. So
I agree. And actually that would probably be a second or third place for me as well in yeah. terms of, and the thing is, I wouldn't have necessarily said that about my reading, but I mm-hmm. think I gravitating towards that for like podcasts.
Ah,
there's
yeah.
a few different podcasts out there that are more of a, weirdly, I don't know how I even got started on this, but Questlove has a podcast cool. where he just does a deep dive with different artists. And it's like, tell me where you started and coming all the way up. And it's a panel of artists all talking about their art, their backgrounds, their, you know, their stories.
That's
and
awesome.
I have found myself just sort of binging people, you know, probably I should know, but
yeah.
not necessarily people I really do know. And oh. sometimes they are talking about the, you know, events of the day. It just sort of works itself into the conversation, but it's really is more of a biography memoir type feel to it than a popular, you know, what's going on in the world type podcast.
I'm definitely going to check that out. That sounds awesome. Kind of makes me think about so many of the opportunities where I have right now for seeing events that would have been
yes.
maybe in-person events, right?
Or yes, very
concerts,
much.
And we get to see them in our living rooms. And I know we've
and
talked
theirs,
a little bit
too. Of,
yeah, and theirs, right? we talked a little bit about that just in the chat, but I thought I would bring one of the things that I saw to the podcast and then ask you about some of the ones that you have.
Sure.
seen and listened to. My favorite one was an Academy of American Poets event that would have been a fundraiser live event. And it was called Shelter and Poems, and it was the culmination of National Poetry Month. And instead of having this be a big, you know, ticketed event, it was something where we are all invited to sit in our living rooms or bedrooms or wherever and see all of these wonderful poets reading, you know, one poem in their living rooms, in their bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an absolutely just gorgeous event. Natasha Trewithy, who has a new memoir coming out this fall or late summer.
Yep.
Yes. Very high of mine too. Rita Dove, Alberto Rios, Juan Felipe Herrera, Joy Harjo. And that's just a few of them.
Right.
It was just a beautiful event. It was really, really moving and very, very intimate in a way that it wouldn't have been had it not been this type of event. And there's also a fundraiser for the Academy of American Poets at the same time. Mm-hmm. But it was it was really special, and it wasn't probably what they had wanted to do, but I think that it did something different and something really intimate. So that was probably my favorite. What about some of the things that you've seen or heard?
Well, I will say a lot of music ones have caught my eye, and I've sat through. My music tastes are totally all over the place, so just kind of know this going in, but there's a Irish Celtic grass. It's an Irish folk bluegrass Americana band.
Okay.
Of all things. And they, to kind of, for themselves and for their fans, they've actually are doing almost, doing like a Facebook Live or Instagram Live session 4 days a week.
Oh,
it's a four-member band, so each member takes a day, and they're doing interviews, they're just chatting with fans, they're playing songs just individually in their house. They're separated all, like one's in Nashville, one's in Ann Arbor, and two are in Ireland.
Oh my gosh.
And it's sort of, and they, you know, you can see them in their own mention, you know, in the mentions and the comments, talking to each other. Sometimes they do bring each other on. It's one of those things where it's just, but so many different artists are doing that kind of thing. Yeah. And I think it's partially to keep themselves sane too in all of this. right. But I've also seen, and one of the one who actually lives in Ann Arbor, he's married to a woman from the area. And he, you know, he's gardening, he's learning to brew beer, he's going through all these, you know, and he'll take people outside with his phone. I've seen, you know, Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires have done things out of their barn, or I think maybe his in-law's barn. It's just all these different artists and doing different things. But book related, one of the neatest ones I saw actually was last week. There was a Read with Pry panel put on by Berkeley Romance, which still go out to Facebook and see. And it featured Meryl Wilsner, Casey McQuiston, Gabby Rivera, and Kason Callender. So that was just one of those things. And then there's also, they just announced, Torn Forge just announced that they're having an online virtual event of science fiction and fantasy authors. And their kind of feature events include a one-on-one discussion between Neil Gaiman and V.E. Schwab, another one between Christopher Paolini from Aragon and Brandon Sanderson, and then another one of Cory Doctorow and Nnedi Okorafor. And I think every one of those would be really interesting.
Yeah.
But it's also that kind of funny world where I talked about all those musical productions, but you can take dance classes. I mean, you can sit in on a dance class with some of the biggest dance companies in the world right now.
Wow.
I mean, Alvin Ailey, Hubbard Street Dance Company, ABT's done it. I mean, all Martha Graham Dance Company. It's really weird and interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And there's just, out of this time where we're all separated, there's a sort of unusual intimacy to these events.
Exactly. You know,
I was reading a small self-published book, like a memoir about horses and horse training. Okay, my passion. And I read the chapter, and then I saw a Facebook Live event where the author was reading a chapter. And she was reading the chapter that I had just read that morning. So I messaged her through Facebook to tell her that. And we started talking about my horse. I sent her pictures. And I thought, this is really the coolest, weirdest thing, I think.
It is.
Yeah, she gave me some advice. And it was like, wow. And I feel really grateful to all of these artists and authors for reaching out in this way. Because it's awkward. You know, they're technical failures and weird things happen. And there's just this kind of awkwardness and this intimacy for them to, that they know that we are seeing their living rooms, you know, and their bookshelves, which I love to look at their bookshelves. But, but anyway, it's just, I feel really grateful and fortunate that all these artists are sharing in this way. So what's been calling you the most? What have you read recently that you'd like to recommend?
Well, I can start back to that kind of the Pride panel. One of the things I found out and totally didn't realize was I was kind of interested, particularly because I'd read books by Meryl Wilsner and Casey McQuiston. Casey McQuiston, I've already gushed about on the pod before, wrote Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Oh, yeah.
Meryl Wilsner, come to find out, as I'm looking through the information on the Facebook page for this event, the bookstore of note related to their work is actually Schuller's. So come to find out, Merrill Wilsner, the book doesn't have anything to do with Michigan, but Merrill Wilsner was born in Michigan and kind of went away and is now back in Michigan with their family. And the it is actually the number one pick for Library Reads for May, for the Library Reads community. And it's a really, 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 really slow burn romance. So it features, Joe is in, it's an older woman, younger woman assistant, relationship. It is Joe, the older woman, is a former child star. And I really sort of imagined her as a Shonda Rhimes type person as an adult. Mm-hmm. She's a showrunner. She's a noted award-winning writer. She's one of those people that deals with the big issues. I'm really thinking like Thursday Night TV type feel, mm-hmm. That you got it with Shondaland and that sort of stuff. And she's about to make the leap into, or she's up for a major writing role for a movie franchise. And she didn't really want to talk to anybody about it. And she appreciates her assistant and everything that she appreciates talking to her. So she decides to take her sort of as a buffer to the SAG Awards. And they're caught. They're caught on the red carpet, and it's just a perfect paparazzi shot that makes all the tabloids think that they're a couple. And they're not. And Joe never comments on her love life, and neither woman is particularly out to the other. It's not something they've ever talked about. But as the story goes on, you're sort of like, maybe you need to think about it. It is a slow burn. It was a very interesting, I also genuinely appreciate it's not shoving in your face the fact that Joe has an Asian background or that Emma has a Jewish background. It's just sort of part of the world. Mm-hmm. There's nothing overt about it. So it's one of those, I just genuinely enjoyed that story. And I hope everybody checks it out.
Book I'm seeing everywhere.
Yes, it is. I mean, it really is showing up everywhere. And I'm glad it was really mm-hmm. well written. So what's one of yours?
I actually went into a backlist pick. Interestingly enough, I was purchasing some items from the Library of Congress from okay. there, and they have the works of the poet laureates there in their right. shop. And so I'd always wanted to read, and there's so many books that you want to read and you can't read. And then all of a sudden it's like synchronicity, you know, one just hits you.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh my gosh.
Yes, exactly.
It was actually on sale. And I thought, I've always wanted to read that. It's Ordinary Light. It's a memoir by Tracy K. Smith. And Tracy K. Smith was our 22nd poet laureate from 2017 to 2019. And mm-hmm. this is a memoir. We have it available in print. We also have it in Overdrive and Libby. And then we have a lot of, in Hoopla, we have a lot of e-books of her poetry. We don't have this particular memoir, but we have her Pulitzer-winning book, Life on Mars, to listen to on Hoopla. But this is one of those opportunities where you have a poet that writes their memoir. I mean, how mm-hmm. it's just absolutely stunning. She's a professor of creative writing at Stanford. And this is one of the most beautifully crafted books I've ever read. It is just precise. It's tight. It's gorgeous. There's not a word that is not necessary in this book.
Right.
It's very controlled, but yet very emotional. And it was stunning. I absolutely loved it. And it deals with, it's a coming of age story. It really deals with her dealing with the life of, or the death of her mother when she's really a young adult starting out in her life in her early 20s. But then it goes back to her family life, to growing up in California with this very tight, close-knit, loving family. And then it goes through the evolution of how she became a writer and what her inspirations were for that. but also her coming to terms with who she was within this tight-knit family, where her mother was very religious and had some clear ideas in some ways about who she wanted Tracy to be and mm-hmm. about Tracy figuring out who she really was, and also coming to terms what it means to be a Black woman in America. And that's something that she didn't really get from her family so much. And mm-hmm. her exploration through being a Harvard student and reading the literature and deep diving into things that really made her uncomfortable, to come to terms with, you know, who she was and who she was going to be, not who her family wanted her to be. Mm-hmm. But it's also juxtaposed with this really loving family relationship. So it's that, you know, who am I in this family? Who am I in the world? And it's beautiful. It was just a stunning book, a gorgeous book to read. So I highly recommend it.
I think right after our April podcast, you had sent me a link because there's sort of a something that featured Ocean Vuong's poetry.
Yeah.
And it's a podcast. It's called The Slowdown that Tracy K. Smith she produces, and it's just regular in my feed now. They're just like 5 minute mm-hmm. Podcasts, and it's her talking about what's going on and how it relates in a poem for the day. Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous. Beautiful. I would highly recommend it. Here's one that got kind of lost in my mix. I really love the book Keeper of Lost Things by Ruth Hogan, and she has a new book out called Queenie Malone's Paradise Hotel. Mm. It's about mothers and daughters relationships. It's about ghosts and it's about chosen family. Tilda's coming home to her mother's flat after her mother has just died. She's gone to the funeral. She's coming home, and it's looking around the house and trying to figure out what they didn't tell each other. They've had a very, very strained relationship. In fact, they haven't spoken for years. And she's just trying to understand what happened and why. And she's looking around the house for any kind of clues. And then she has a neighbor who totally throws her off balance by assuring her that no, she loved you. You really need to work on understanding what actually happened. But the funny, it is one of those quirky reads that I'm always bringing to the table. You get, you know, you know, when she shows up at the house, she lets her dog in, and the dog is always kind of there to help. When she goes next door, because the neighbor invites her over to tea and to talk, the neighbor said, "Did you bring your dog?" And Tilda kind of just does a double take because nobody sees her dog.
Ah.
It's a ghost dog.
Wow.
And it's just one of those, and she's like, "Wait a minute, do you see him?" She's like, "No, but your mother told me he was there." And it's an uplifting, it's a quirky read. If you like Phaedra Patrick or Nina George or Gabriel Zeevan or Frederick Bachman, anybody in that group of authors, it's just, you should give it a try. It's just a fun book.
Yeah, it sounds like
it's sad and sweet and uplifting as well.
And ghost dogs, you know.
And ghost dogs. There's more than just the ghost dogs, but definitely the ghost dogs. There's some other people hanging out helping her along.
Sounds really good. I wanted to throw a couple more out there. I know we don't have much time left, but you know, because of being libraries being closed, so many great books released between March and now that are getting lost in the shuffle, may get skipped over, didn't get the promotion that they probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought two of those, and they actually go back to what we discussed in the very beginning. Well, actually, all three of my books do. One is really dealing with plants and the world of plants, and the other is dealing with animals. And the first is Becoming Wild by Carl Safina, How Animal Cultures Raise Families, Create Beauty, and Achieve Peace. And the second one is The Earth in Her Hands, 75 Extraordinary Women Working in the World of Plants by Jennifer Jewell. And the first, Becoming Wild, I'll be really brief about it. But he really asks a question, and he goes through three different types of animals to try to answer the question, how these species answer this question. The question is, how do we live in this place? Which is a really profound question. And then he literally shows how whales live within their space, how macaws do, and then chimpanzees. So there's three segments of the book on each of these. And he asks us continually through the book, as humans, how do we live in this space? And are we asking ourselves that question? How do we live on Earth? How do we live with each other? How do we live with the other species on Earth? And this will be really appealing to anybody who loves books about animals, books about climate change, books about books about deep dives into topics, micro histories. Sure. You get a lot of information about the different species. But what you really get out of this is an assertion from the author, and he really works to prove this through the book, that these animals have culture, and they have active culture that is not just nature. It's not just passed down. These are cultures that they teach. And he works with three concepts: beauty, family, and peace and the absence of peace. And so this was a stunning read, extremely readable. It goes fast. It's riveting. He's on site in each of these communities studying the animals with researchers. So it was just fantastic. And then I know we don't have much time left, but The Earth in Her Hands, this is a beautiful book, would make a lovely gift. This is one of those books where each it's a little chapter or a little piece on each woman who works in the world of plants. This is everything from activists to artists to landscape architects, gardeners, professors of all different professions. And through this, each woman gets to tell her story and then also tell who inspired her. So this is one of those books where it's a deep dive, and it contains about 75 more deep dives in it. So you get a bunch of book recommendations, websites, just takes you all over the place. And it's just stunning. The Earth in Her Hands. These were beautiful reads.
And then, can I close it out with one last one then?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. I'm going to just one more again. It kind of got lost in the shuffle just because of everything going on in the world. Yeah. But CeCe Moore, who is a genealogist, just started a TV show on ABC called The Genetic Detective. And it just brought this title to mind. It's called The Lost Family by Libby Copeland. And it's one of those things that whether or not you are ever interested in taking a DNA test, they can affect you. Other people taking them can affect you directly because you share DNA with lots of other people. And it's one of those books that if you've taken a test, if you want to take a test, if you never, ever want to take a DNA test, all of these people should actually read this book because it's a really interesting background on genealogy, genetic testing. And I really appreciate the way Copeland lays out the more challenging aspects of the ancestry test booms and all that boom, and results that contradict people's stories, the family stories. You know, you find out things that might not have ever come out before because of DNA. And it's just a really interesting, straightforward and accessible look at DNA testing. So, whether you're interested in family history or not, it's an compelling and important read. And it just sort of dovetailed into, I'd seen that the show was starting. We are well probably beyond time. And I could talk to you about books forever.
Yes.
And we probably will. But we're going to finish up today. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, we are slowly working our way back to not normal, but a newer normal. And on Monday, June 22nd, members will be able to reserve items by placing a hold or calling their branch and schedule a time for a curbside pickup or door pickup. And we will have that information up on the website. So, and it'll all go out in marketing stuff in website, Facebook, social media, whatever. So keep an eye out for that. Thank y'all.
Thank you.